It's time to streak the quad.
We're going streaking! Yes! Sorry, we're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody!
And hit the college watering holes.
What is that? That's not beer.
No, it's whiskey. I watered it down, though.
Okay, all right, fine.
With beer. Here we go. Come on.
As we take you back to school for the Border Patrol Blitz, we cover the teams that matter. Kansas, Kansas State, and Missouri. Calling the signals, here's Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady.
Welcome back to the show. Hey, you want to come out and see me? I'm going to be up in St. Joseph, Missouri today at the Hy-Vee on the belt. Okay? St. Joe Hy-Vee. I'll be there at 3. And then my friends from Jim Beam will be there from 4 until 6. And so I'll be over there from 3 until 5-ish, and then I have to leave. So I'll be there for a couple hours. I'm going to get there early. I'll be there at 3 o'clock. And for the first, five people will have Sports Radio 810 t-shirts, and everyone can register to win the Jim Beam cornhole set. So 3 o'clock today, I'll be at the Hy-Vee in St. Joseph, Missouri. I'd love to see you. Thank you.
Missouri.
And I'd love to see Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com, but I can talk to him, and that's enough. Hello, Gabe. How are you?
I'm good, Stephen. What's going on, man?
Nothing. Nothing. But, you know what? Nothing but sports right now. That's all we do is talk sports and have fun. And this is part of it, Gabe. Let's hold off on talking Mizzou football. What do you think about Greg Sankey saying that the league is looking at going to just a single, no two divisions, just one big league?
I mean, that's what the other power conferences pretty much, the Big 12 has already done that. The Pac-12 is doing it this year. I think the ACC and the Big 10 have talked about it. So it seems to be the way it's going in all these leagues where just the top two teams make the title game, which is okay, because if the playoff's expanding, then, you know, really getting in that 12 is a much bigger deal than playing in a conference title game. I mean, with a 14 playoff, you almost have to be in the conference title game to get in. But with the 12-team playoff, there would be multiple teams who didn't make a conference title game, and so that would be fine.
And so you like it? Would you like that as opposed to the two divisions?
I don't really care either way, as long as the SEC schedule finds a way to, you know, play teams more than once every 7 years, which seems to be the main driving force here. I think they're going to go to 9 league games with like the 3 permanent teams that you play every year. So as long as they find a way for, you know, every kid to get a chance to play every school and preferably do it home in a way, I don't ultimately care if it's pods or divisions or one big pool. I don't know that it much matters.
All right, let's talk Mizzou. You know, I was really impressed. And, you know, midway through the third quarter, Mizzou was scored a touchdown, and it's 28-24. And I'm thinking, okay, here we go again. They're going to be competitive against a good team. They may not win it, but they're showing some fight. And then Tennessee just absolutely destroyed Mizzou in the final quarter and a half. They ended up putting up 724 yards. I'm not even sure what to take away from it, but how much was that Tennessee not taking their foot off the gas? How much was that them trying to get style points to the college football committee? And how much was it after Eli Drinkwitz made those comments about Tennessee and their issues that maybe they wanted to prove a point to Eli Drinkwitz?
Yeah, I think both of them were a part of it. I mean, the last couple touchdowns, the game was over at 52-24. But, you know, whether they get those last two touchdowns or not, I think the point had been proven. I have no problem with the last two touchdowns, you know, because you do have to understand that a lot of these polls and playoffs and committees and stuff, they don't dive into every single thing. Winning 66-24 probably is more impressive than 52-24. And I think the Drinkwitz stuff figured into it. You know, I mean, the talk and the funny things are all well and good, but they do also buy you a little. I mean, other teams take notes on that, you know, and it doesn't go unnoticed. And I know that didn't go unnoticed in Knoxville. So that was a part of it. As for the game, I mean, yeah, mid third quarter, it looked like, hey, 28-24, you know, they're putting up a fight and all that. I wonder when you move past the point that, hey, coming close and trying hard is good enough. I'm not saying that you should have expected them to beat Tennessee, but I've been a little caught off guard at the number of people that say, well, I mean, yeah, you lost by six touchdowns, but like you knew you were going to lose this game. I mean, how many games do you go into every year going, well, it's okay because we know we're going to lose and that'd be all right.
But it turned into an embarrassment, 724 yards. And that was disappointing because the one thing you could hang your head on for Mizzou is, hey, the defense has been really, really good all year long. And then they almost give up a school record as far as total yards. I mean, what do we think of the defense?
Well, I think that was more about Tennessee than it was about Missouri. I mean, I think Missouri's defense had a bad day on the wrong day. But I also think that it's time to put Josh Heupel in the conversation with Mike Gundy and Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach and these guys that we talk about as elite offensive coaches. I mean,
I'm with you on that.
Tennessee has more talent than Missouri, but they don't have that much more talent to just do. They did anything they wanted to. And I mean, there were just guys running wide open. And that's not all talent. I mean, we've seen Chris Abrams drain and Ennis Rakestraw and Jalen Carlisle and Joseph Charleston cover guys that, you know, are on the level of Tennessee's receivers, and Missouri wasn't covering them. So the Missouri scheme probably deserves some of that. Some guys maybe just had a bad day, but Tennessee deserves a lot of credit for it too. And it's kind of, to me, some proof that even if you don't, because make no mistake, Tennessee does not have, you know, top 3 to 5 talent in the country. They're good, but they don't have that level of talent. A decent amount of what they're doing is a credit to Josh Heupel, and it shows you that, look, there are ways to scheme good talent into great talent.
So obviously they better win the game, but what are you looking for? What would you like to see tomorrow against New Mexico State? I would like to see a lot of young players play.
Yeah.
And I would like, well, here we go again. I would just like to see Sam Horn with a helmet throwing a football, just so I know it's possible.
Playing the kids is the only thing that matters in this game. If Sam Horn and Tavoris Jones and Jamarian Wayne and Marquise Gracialla and all these guys,
yes,
if they don't get on the field, Saturday's a failure. I don't care if you win by 3 touchdowns or 7 points or whatever. If those guys don't get any playing time, then this weekend is a failure. I mean, I know they're 4-5. Their best win's probably New Mexico. By all metrics, they're one of the worst teams in FBS. This can't be a repeat of Abilene Christian, where you never think Missouri's going to lose, but you're also never comfortable enough to just say, let's put all the young guys out there and see what happens.
So, on that note, what happens tomorrow? What do you think? Do you think we'll see Mizzou get a big enough lead to where they'll go to the young players, or are they going to struggle with New Mexico State?
No, I think we'll see them. I don't think maybe we'll see them as much as some fans would like to. I think I'd pick Missouri something like 38-10. I think they'll win comfortably, but I can't say that I think this offense is going to score 50 because I haven't seen it since week one.
Marco wants to know if it's a 29-point spread. What's your reaction to that?
I mean, I don't know if I picked him 38-10. I guess it's probably about what I think. That's a lot of points for a team that doesn't score a lot of points generally. But, you know, I will reiterate that if you gamble on college sports, I don't feel terrible for you if you lose your money. So do whatever you would like.
Marco needs a bounce back weekend, Gabe. We're trying to help him. Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com.
You know what? You don't need a bounce back weekend if you didn't gamble last week.
Well, that's, you know, now you're nitpicking. Gabe, thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, now we have John Kirby. We have John Kirby from JayhawkSlant.com.
Kansas.
Hello, John Kirby. How are you?
Steven, how you doing, man? I've been this whole week I've been battling this crud that's going around.
It's not
all that fun, but how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing, you know, knock on, there's some wood there. I've not dealt with any of that kind of illness or whatever else. I've been having everything else wrong with me, but I've been good there. Hopefully you will get well soon. Now, could you please tell Nate who the starting quarterback will be for Kansas on Saturday?
Yeah, Steven, I'm kind of leaning toward the return of Jalen Daniels.
Oh,
You know, the last couple weeks, he's practiced. He's gone through warm-ups. I mean, just 2 weeks ago at KU, I watched him throw every pass down on the field. And, I mean, he threw it fine. He came off. He was high-fiving guys. He was smiling after his throw. So that was 2 weeks ago. So here's what I think happened. You know, Jason Bean plays a really good game against Oklahoma State. And I think Daniels is probably right on that edge of coming back. And they said, hey, let's just go with Bean, right? I mean, he's played well in the backup role. But now, and I do think this could factor in a little bit, now I think Bean may be dinged up a little bit. So I just think all signs are pointing right now toward Jalen Daniels.
No, so I think Nate would agree with me. Jason Bean has played very well. You have to be very happy with what he's done stepping in after the starter got hurt. But how much better would they be? How much better are they if, like you said, he's going to come back, he's healthy, and he returns to the starting position tomorrow? What, you know, and nothing against Bean, but how much more dynamic or how much better do you think they are if that happens?
Yeah, Steven, I think they're better, and I'm going to tell you why. Now, you know, when you look back at Jalen, you know, Iowa State held KU to like 210 yards of offense, okay? And then the first half of TCU, Jalen was okay, wasn't great. So, you know, you're going to have to knock a little of that rust off sitting off this long. Texas got a pretty good defense. But the one thing that I think that Daniels gives you, and he gives Andy Kotelnicki, is they can get back into that quarterback run game and some of that option game and some things that Daniels' physical running as a quarterback gives them that Bean doesn't. I think they're going to get back to what you saw those first 4 or 5 weeks, that style of play.
So what are the chances that we're going to see Ethan Vasco if both of these guys are still banged up in Bean and Daniels? What are the odds of seeing the true freshman actually play on Saturday?
Well, Nate, I mean, I would say you hope the odds are low, right?
Right.
But I think he's – listen, Andy Kotelnicki said it Wednesday when he met with us, or Tuesday. He said, you know, yeah, we get Vasco ready. He's one snap away, okay? He's one snap away, one hit away from playing. So, you know, depending on Bean's health, if Jalen Daniels takes a shot to his arm or gets roughed up and has to come out, you know, I think Ethan Vasco will be the next guy in.
Hey, how healthy is Devin Neal going to be? He's been incredible the last two games, but he got banged up last weekend too.
Yeah, I think Devin's just played, you know, through some games here recently. Definitely not 100%, but he sure looks like it, doesn't he? I mean, he's running hard. He's breaking tackles. He's showing a little bit of acceleration. I do think that he's, you know, he's just playing through stuff. Where, Nate, listen, at this time of year, these kids are going on their 10th, 11th football game of the year. You know how it goes. You've been down on the sidelines for several years calling games. I mean, you know, those kids start getting roughed up at this time of year.
We're visiting with John Kirby. So one of the big issues the Jayhawks had in this last game was missed field goals. How's that kicking situation going to affect the way they approach this game?
Well, I mean, Nate, it's not going to change in a week, right? I mean, listen, one of the big things on our message board all week has been, hey, you know, are we going to look at a kicker in the portal? Are we, you know, are we going to recruit a kicker? With, you know, kickers are tough to recruit. I mean, I've seen some of the top kickers in the country who are rated 1 and 2 go to their schools and never make it. So, you know, it's a tough position to play. And, you know, he had some tough luck against Texas Tech. I thought those kicks looked pretty good, and they both just happened to hit the upright and fall back in. It's not like he shanked the things. I mean, they were just a foot off. So you just hope that, you know, he can get his head clear and get out there and make the field goals that they're asking him to.
John, Stan Weber says that if Texas is focused, if they're engaged, if they play their A game, they're the best team in the Big 12. They just don't do that every game. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I do. I do, Steven. After watching them, I went back and watched Texas some this week. And going back and watching them play Alabama, okay, I mean, they went toe-to-toe with Alabama. I don't know if you could tell who the better team was. You know, they beat Oklahoma. I don't remember the score. 49-0, 48-0, something
them.
Like that. Yeah, I mean, so when Texas shows up to play, listen, their defense last week held TCU under 300 yards of offense. Okay, so Texas has the Jimmys and Joes everywhere. But the question's going to be, do they get off the bus ready to play? Okay, they're kind of on the outside looking in to play in the Big 12 title game. They need a lot of help to do that. They're coming into Kansas. It's a road game. You know, two of their three losses in the Big 12 have been on the road. They lost in Lubbock. They're going to get off. It's going to be 35 degrees in Lawrence. So I agree with Stan, but you also have to understand which team is going to show up. Is it the Texas team that brings their A game or the Texas team that brings their C-plus game?
Are they motivated by last year's loss? Or do they care?
Absolutely. I think they do. I talked to our guys down in Texas this week, and, you know, that's been something that's been talked about. Those kids have watched all in the offseason, the Jalen Daniels highlight, hitting Casey for the two-point conversion. You know, these guys, those kids know. They remember. They got made fun of on that loss to Kansas, so they will remember that.
Nate likes to mess with Texas.
All right, what's your prediction, JK?
You know, I'm going to say that Texas comes and plays that B-C-plus game. Mm. I don't know that if the A team from Texas shows up. If they do, it's going to be trouble. But I'm going to think that it doesn't. So, you know, guys, this is probably the last chance, at least in the regular season, that I may pick the Jayhawks. So I'm going to go with them on senior day to knock off the Longhorns 28-27.
So what I'm hearing is you're telling Marco to be very comfortable taking KU in 9 points is what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah, that might be a good game. Just lay off up, Steven.
Oh, well, that's you know, that's another angle that we could take with Marco. We'll see.
That's not a sentence that really jives with Marco's approach. Just laying off the game. He likes action.
Kirby, you got to spend money to make money.
Yeah. He says you got
to over under.
The over under. It's 63.5, JK.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, that's a game that both teams they don't go fast. They huddle up. They'll run the ball. So I don't know. That might be the under might be a play there.
Get low. Go the under there. That's the advice we're looking for. John Kirby, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Yeah, Marco's not looking to lay off any of these games. He just said that's his motto. You gotta spend money to make money.
Yeah.
Marco Marquez, 2022. Up next, do we have our guest? So Nate Buchady, do you believe Kansas will beat Texas? I don't want to hear what your heart says. I want to hear what your head says.
I don't know.
No lies on this show, please. Come on.
Who's going to play quarterback?
JK said he's leaning towards Jalen Daniels.
If Jalen Daniels plays, I don't know. Yeah, I'll say I think KU's going to win. I don't know, man. Best team in the Big 12 when they show up, that makes me nervous. I mean, you know, because
they've been made fun of all year.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's bringing up the highlights again.
It's funny to me. I don't know.
I just hope that Texas takes it with the arrogance of, well, that was a fluke last year, and we're way better than them.
They don't
so
like
we'll
the
kick
cold.
Their butts this
year. They don't like this cold.
Yeah, I'm ready for. I hope it's really cold.
Matt Walters loves the cold, so let's talk to him.
He's not afraid of the cold.
That's right. Matt Walters, how are you?
I am great and can't wait for it to be in the mid-30s, if not colder, tomorrow in Morgantown.
Yeah, so I'm looking right. Yeah, it's projected to be 36 degrees at kickoff. K-State favored by 7.5 at first. Man, oh, man, what an impressive showing. How did Kansas State absolutely dominate Baylor last week?
They got out in front of them. K-State was relentless in hitting Baylor, and you know, the Wildcats took away what they wanted. And, you know, we've talked about it now the last few weeks. When you can make somebody one-dimensional, you can really wreak havoc. And K-State suffocated the Baylor ground game for the most part. Squirrel didn't get going. Richard Reese didn't get going. And Blake Chapin was not Blake Chapin from a year ago in Manhattan. And, you know, Martinez gets knocked out again, and Will Howard's just been spectacular. And K-State put together about as complete a performance as you can. I mean, guys, if you put it in perspective, you don't have to think hard about it. But what Baylor's been, let's just say in the last 5 years, they held them to 3 points. You hold Baylor to 3 points in their own building, you've done something right. I mean, that was a good old-fashioned woodshed game last week down in Waco.
And you mentioned Will Howard's been spectacular, and now he's the QB. There's no question because of the injury to Martinez. What has impressed you most about Will Howard, in the time that he's played, and how do you think now that we know he's a starting quarterback and teams will game plan for him, what are you expecting from him moving forward?
Well, you want to say the same thing that you've been getting. Will said to me a couple weeks ago, he said, "Matt, I hate to tell you this, but it's true. The game has slowed down for me." He's seen stuff before it happens. He knows what the defenses are doing. The guy is an extremely smart football player and student, and he's just, he's gone from – what's impressed me most is in the last year he's gone from kind of the deer in the headlights look to – give me the football. I'm going to carry this team. We're going to win football games. This is a team that can believe in me. And he's a completely different player than he was a year ago. And that's a testament to, everything from his work to what Colin Klein has done with him in the quarterback's room.
Matt, to just take some time to once again observe the amazing player that Deuce Vaughn is. And he keeps running the ball well. He had 100 yards against Baylor, but he also had 8 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown receiving. The game before that against Texas, 7 catches, 86 yards, a touchdown. He's got 3 straight games with a touchdown catch. Could you talk about the evolution? I mean, he's always been good, but it seems like particularly here of late, he's been really good catching the ball out of the backfield. Tell me about that part of his game and how that continues to grow.
Well, he's grown in that aspect, Nate, but it's also, K-State's got to have that in their passing game. I don't think K-State is blessed with, elite wide receivers, but they've got really good wide receivers. And when you add Deuce Vaughn to the mix, that makes that core that much better. So if you're a defensive coordinator, what are you going to take away? Are you going to try and sell your soul to stop the running game and slow down Deuce Vaughn that way and let him kill you in the passing game? Because last week, guys, Baylor kept running a corner blitz off the defense's right side. They did it all night. And all Will Howard did was just throw it over the top of him. Well, if you do that, then are you sliding out a linebacker? Are you bringing up a safety to try and handle Deuce Vaughn one-on-one? Good luck. You may get a stop or two, but I can tell you who I'm going to put my money on to win most of those battles. So, if a defense is going to try to take him away in the running game, then in the passing game, you're likely going to have to give up something. So, again, it's kind of a darned if you do, darned if you don't. And Deuce Vaughn is just he's become incredibly complete, and he's becoming more complete every day because that kid, again, works as hard as anybody on the K-State roster.
Okay, so what's the over-under on how many times that weird helicopter will land right by the stadium in West Virginia tomorrow?
I don't know. I'll say 4. Who knows? What matters for K-State is forget about KU. We'll talk about that. Well, we'll talk about that next week. Just go be West Virginia. If you can play that way in Waco, you can play that way in Morgantown. They're a different opponent. They're going to be jacked up, ready to go. They beat Oklahoma. They're still bowl eligible. I'm really curious to see what kind of tenor this game takes on tomorrow afternoon.
All right. We will, like you said, next week we'll be talking about the Sunflower Showdown. But until then, have a safe trip to Morgantown. And who's the guy that's always harassing you when you were on the sidelines, Nate? The guy in the over, what was it?
There was one guy with the raccoon skin cap and overalls.
Daniel Boone.
Yeah. Look out for him. He was throwing stuff at Nate, so be careful, all right?
Look out for that. Look out for couches on fire in Morgantown.
Yep. As always, thank you very much, Matt. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, have a great Thanksgiving as well. We'll see you.
That is, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. That is Matt Walters talking K-State football. That was your Border Patrol Blitz. Back after this on WHB. Was that a little dose of real talk for you or not?
Marco doesn't want either of our mics to be on right now, so I don't know.
Because he knows I was cussing from the commercial break.
That's smart.
Could you tell I was in here cussing? Is that why you... No, you're smart. I'm proud of you for doing that.
Yep.
Cut my mic off.
That's true.
Because there's some F-bombs being dropped in here. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Were you aware?
Yeah, when the mic is away from your mouth, then...
You can see my face. You can read lips. I was in here. I was giving this guy right here... He needs a Q-tip to clean out his ear because I was giving him an earful, wasn't I?
You were. It was.
What about you? It was about things.
Oh yeah,
involved us. Involved.
You were making some proclamations.
What do you think of it?
Oh, I agree with most of what you had to say.
About all of it. I want to talk to Deion Clisso, PrepsKC.com. I will not curse him.
You're not going
to
cuss him out?
Maybe. What's up, Deion?
Not much. I got to be careful. I was always told to think every mic is hot.
Every mic's a hot mic.
I have a podcast, Hot Mic with SSJ. I know. You know what? No one won't bother if they hear an F-bomb here or there. Okay? It cleanses your soul. All right.
I never cuss. I never cuss. At least that's what I tell my 12-year-old.
It is shocking that I don't cuss. That I'll get caught cussing more on this radio show. But... You know what? Nate keeps me from it. Okay, let's find out what's going on in high school football postseason action. And away we go. The Missouri player to watch is Grain Valley quarterback Caleb Larson.
Well, you know, stat lines are not necessarily everything that you need to know about a kid. He's got about 900 yards rushing, a little over 1,000 yards passing. But he keys an offense that is physical and tough, that controls the clock. They are on an 8-game winning streak since starting the season 1-2. They go to Fort Osage to play a team that's on a 7-game winning streak since starting 2-2. They played the first week of the season. Fort Osage got the win. They played in the quarterfinals, same level they're at right here. This year, last year, Fort Osage got that win. Caleb Larson's a fun kid to watch. He makes things happen, and they're going to need a lot out of him tonight, but it's going to be a great game between these two teams, which are really mirror images. They both play great defense. They both want to run the ball. They're both physical, both well-coached. One of the best games in the Metro tonight out of Fort Osage.
What about the Missouri team to watch, Lee Summit North?
They are. I don't know if they're in a bus yet, but they'll be on a bus here shortly on their way to St. Louis for the second year in a row to play a private Catholic school. This year, the SMET instead of the CBC. You know, they've handled their business pretty well the last few weeks, and they haven't been flashy. They haven't been blowing teams out, but they beat a good Nixon team 24-10 last week to get to the semifinals for the second year in a row, second time in school history. They played the Smith team that's got five losses, I think, but it's played a pretty tough schedule. Played some teams from Illinois, played CBC and the teams that's in their league. But they are a team in the Smith that you got to be careful for. But I like Lee Summit North. I think that if they can limit their mistakes and play a pretty clean sheet, their talent is such that they should beat just about everybody they play. Their defense has been outstanding the last few weeks, and offensively, they've got Max Ford and Elijah Leonard, kind of a two-headed quarterback duo there. Great running backs. Quincy Baker's a great running back. Isaiah Mosey, the son of the coach, Jamar Mosey, is an outstanding receiver. So we've got weapons. And, oh, by the way, Caden Green, maybe the best offensive lineman, not maybe, probably the best offensive lineman in the city, who's going to Oklahoma. So they've got everything you need. And now it's time for them to kind of cash that in and get their first state championship.
Okay, a couple of games they asked you about. What about Center and Smithville?
Game of the year, maybe. Center undefeated. Smithville just has one loss. That was to Kearney in week three by 1 point. They pounded Kearney 49-13 last week. This is defending state champions. They lost a lot of players off that team, but they are a really good team right now. Play great defense. They swarm to the ball. Offensively, they like to run the ball, but they can throw it to Andrew Hedgeworth. Their quarterback's outstanding. He was a starting quarterback last year, actually the last 2 years, on that state championship team. And you counter with Center, which has got all kinds of great players. Joseph Vick, the quarterback, Corey Love, the tailback, Armand Russell, receiver. They've got other great players. They've got two great offensive linemen who play both ways. This is a big-time matchup. And when you talk about teams that can win a state championship, you're talking about Center, Smithville, St. Mary's out of St. Louis. And whoever wins this game will probably play St. Mary's in the next round.
Boy.
So this is a big game, but there's still a lot out there. Center trying to get past that quarterfinal level, which they've been at in 2012 and 2018.
So who do you think is going to win?
I like Center. I like their overall team speed. I just think that their middle linebacker and their linemen are just – there's so much quickness there and physicality that they kind of runs that you would get 7 and 8 yards on, you only get 1 or 2 because they close the gap and do those kind of things. That being said, Smithville is Smithville, and they're used to winning these games. So it's tough to knock a team like Smithville out of the playoffs.
Pleasant Hill at Maryville.
Well, take everything I just said about those two teams and kind of repeat it with Pleasant Hill and Maryville. Pleasant Hill came on strong last year, won their district kind of late season run, and then this year they only have the one loss, which is the Center. Maryville has played a really tough schedule, played Blair Oaks, Luther North, along with the teams in the Midland Empire like St. Pius and Savannah. Maryville has that pedigree. They're used to playing quarterfinal weekend, semifinal weekend, state championship games. They are at home. They are 90-4 over the last 10 years.
Jesus.
At home. And so I have to give credit to Justin Hamlin, the Pleasant Hill coach. He told his kids, if you want to go to the Final Four, you got to be number 5. You got to be the 15 to go up there and win. And it's not easy. I mean, 2018 Center went up there with a really good team that had some guy who's playing tailback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Rashad White. And they got beat by a close game, but it's just a tough place to play. Pleasant Hill's really good. They throw the ball. Their defense is fantastic. One thing that helps them is they only have one guy going both ways, so their depth is really good. But like I said about Smithville, tough to knock Maryville out of the playoffs.
Tell you what, it was a freshman football game, but Richie St. John helped seal the win at Maryville with a fumble recovery late in the fourth quarter. 10 years ago.
He's one of the few opposing players to walk off that field and win.
Finally, CBC at Liberty North. Come on, Liberty North. Teach them Christian Brothers a lesson.
Rematch of last year's state championship game. I think Liberty North's a better team than they were this time last year. And from what I'm hearing, this is maybe not the same CBC team. That being said, they're very good. They only have one loss. But their defense may not be quite as good as it was last year, which forced, I think, 5 turnovers out of Liberty North in the state championship game. Interceptions by Sam Van Dyne, who currently has 0 interceptions, so I probably have just jinxed him to no end. But Liberty North's defense has not allowed more than 14 points all season long.
Wow.
They're so dominant. Melvin Laster, the defending Buck Buchanan Award winner, who's just a junior, and can just, say, I want to go to Alabama or I want to go to USC. I mean, he can pick where he wants to go. He's going to be the most highly recruited player in this state for a long time. And he keys that defense that has 9 of 11 starters back. They've been dominant all season. It's going to come down to how much that offense from Liberty North can move the ball and who wins the turnover battle. It's at Liberty North. It's on Saturday. I was up there last night, saw them at practice. They look loose but focused. The boys, you can tell, sitting on the sidelines on a cold, windy afternoon. But, it's going to be a great game. I like Liberty North in that game. I'd love to finally see that all-Kansas City State Championship, and I think we've got as good a shot as we had last year, maybe better than we had last year.
I want to go to Missouri. Did you hear that at all? Or no.
I just don't want to.
Sure. Nate Buchanan. Nate Buchanan, let's talk Kansas football, would you?
All righty. How about Eric Butler, our Kansas player to watch, the Olathe Northwest running back?
Well, we haven't talked about Olathe Northwest much this year. They have definitely flown under the radar. They set, you know, like a 6-win regular season, getting the playoffs, and haven't lost since. Basically, they have had a revenge tour of everybody they lost to in the regular season. They beat Olathe South, and then they beat Olathe West last week. And Eric Butler, along with Max Keller, there's been a 1-2 punch limit running back. Butler's got, you know, 1,190 yards and 16 touchdowns. They really ran on Olathe West last week, all over the field in a 35-33 win. They're physical. They're big. They are well-coached. Coach Lauren Clark is a longtime assistant in Olathe Northwest, got his chance to be the head coach, and they are really – that program has taken a big step forward. They've never even played in the semifinal before. They've been around for 20 years. This is as furthest they've gotten. So a win next week is another history-making thing. They're playing Gardner-Edgerton, who's been pretty good all season, and we talked about them some. But they are in the 6A semifinal for the first time in school history. They were in a 5A semifinal when they won when Bubba Starling was there, when they went to the state championship game in 2009 and lost to Hutchinson. But this is the first time in 6A that they've been there. So, you know, going into the year, a lot of us talked about how we thought 6A was wide open on the Kansas side on the east bracket. And then it looked like, you know, you're Olathe North and, you know, maybe Blue Valleys or Blue Valley West, some of the teams that have been there for the last few years were going to be there. But here we are in the semifinals, and it's two teams that haven't been in the 6A semifinals before. And one of them is going to be in the 6A championship game for the first time. So hats off to them. It's really exciting for those programs and those coaching staffs. They've done such a great job to get there. And I'm excited to watch that game tonight. I think it's going to be a great one.
Okay, what about our Kansas team to watch, Mill Valley?
Well, the first question is, can anybody score on them? They haven't given up a touchdown in four games, I think, going back. They gave up 3 points to Shawnee Mission East their last game of the season. Since they lost to Olathe North, they've given up 3 points. And their defense is as dominant as anybody's. You know, some guy named Mick Schaefer, whose kid happens to play there, was giving me all kinds of great stats. The one that stuck out to me was they've had 111 defensive possessions. They've forced teams to go four plays or less 84 times. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, they are as dominant as any defensive unit in the Metro. You know, them and Liberty North. I mean, that's kind of the two dominant teams. And you know, they've got a Blue Valley Southwest team. Talk about teams being in the semifinals for the first time in their school history. Blue Valley Southwest, big win over DeSoto last week, 69-35. Dylan Dunn, their quarterback, had a huge night, 8 touchdowns, almost 600 yards passing. So it's going to be a really interesting matchup with that defense, especially that front four against the offensive line of Blue Valley Southwest, because Blue Valley Southwest is going to send 5 guys into the pattern, you know, almost every time. And so they're going to have to get to Dunn with that front four. So I expect Mill Valley to get to the state championship game for the fourth year in a row. I expect them to win the state title for the fourth year in a row. That being said, they've got to get through Blue Valley Southwest tonight.
And that's the Sports Radio 810 High School Football Game of the Week at 7 o'clock, Mill Valley in Blue Valley Southwest on our sister station ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, Nate Buchanan.
All right, one more game to ask you about here, Dion. How about the battles of the Catholics here,
boy.
St. Thomas Aquinas against Bishop Meade.
Sit down, Marco.
I think they've played before. I'm pretty sure. They have. I think
get in here. This is what we're talking about. Aquinas and Miege. Grenhard just ran in here ready to punch someone in the mouth.
Funny thing is, first time they played in the postseason since 2012 when they were both in 5A. So this is, I think, pretty much everybody figured it'd be two Catholic schools in the semifinals on this side of the bracket, with St. James possibly being in that mix. But Aquinas took care of them last week and played really well in the second half. Miege has been dominant, got past a really good Eudora team a couple weeks ago, and been playing really well. Their offense is fantastic, and I'm sure they have a bad taste in their mouth from when they blew a 20-0 lead in the regular season and lost 29-26 to Aquinas, when Aquinas really kind of, after a 2-game losing streak and losing at halftime of that game, not necessarily turned their season around, but really got back in gear and haven't looked back since. So I like Miege in this game, and I'm sure, you know, if Aquinas wins, I'll get another fun email from Coach Drowling like I did last Saturday. when they beat St. James, who I picked them, picked St. James last week. So, but I like Miege in this game. Amazing stat, and I know if Tim is there, 9 straight semifinals.
Yeah, 9 straight. Absolutely.
And this
nine
is
straight.
The first time that they've played, Miege and Aquinas have played in the postseason since 2012. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. And then this is the first time in the, I believe, in the semifinals, right?
You got this one. You got a game face on. Huh? You scared me when you walk in.
I think that game was at Aquinas too, wasn't it? I've been Montel.
The 2012 game. Yeah, that was, I believe, Aquinas jumped off sides on a freeze situation and gave us a first down, and the game was over.
Yeah, I remember sitting in the bleachers across from the Aquinas bleachers because the away team, the away fans are just not good enough.
Well, now I don't know if there'll be another freeze play, but it'll be freezing out there.
That's right. That's right, Deion.
What do you think of that, Deion? Isn't that pretty good?
Yeah, it is pretty good. Thank you. I think it's a fun night, and there'll be a ton of people there no matter what the temperature.
It's going to be a great game. It's a tale of two styles of offense, physical defenses. It's the holy war. It's the rivalry. And the two best teams in 4A are matching up to go to the state championship. We're glad it's at home. It's going to be one of those classic battles. It always is, man. It doesn't matter what the records are. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It's just one of those games. I mean, I guess back in the day when the Chiefs were competitive with the Raiders, so the Raiders were competitive with the Chiefs. That was, that's kind of what it reminds me of. Just a nice little battle, nice little rivalry.
You know what you do? You throw the record books out.
Throw them out.
In a game like this.
Throw them out.
Deion, I wish I knew how I could follow along with all these great games.
I know how to. I'm always on the 810 Varsity.
Yeah, we're going to be all live from all the games. We're going to have live stats from all the Kansas games and at least some of the North games. Tonight, so it should be a good one, and have all the covered. We got every single game covered, including the one in St. Louis. So called in some peeps in St. Louis, and we'll have coverage of at least some in the North and the Smet, and then of course all the games tomorrow as well. And stay warm, everybody, and it should be a good one. That stat of 9 straight semifinals is a good one, Tim, because when you started that run, my son was 3 years old. He's in 7th grade now, so, and it's 5'7". So it's.
Well, you know what? Give us his email. We'll start recruiting him. You know how we do.
I'm sure. I know he won't. I know he's not allowed to go to Rockers. So even he'll run the Idaho.
Wow.
My wife went to Creighton, and she said that all the jerks went to Rockers and Creighton.
Oh!
Wow!
I like this.
Fired, man.
I like this.
Hey, Deion, thank you.
Those Jesuits, they just got a little bit of a funny attitude to
them. What's going on right now? PressKC.com.
What?
Deion, thank you for the time.
Thanks, Deion.
Thanks a lot, guys. Good luck, Tim.
When we come back, and Tim Grinhardt's here.
Am I allowed back?
Oh, yes, absolutely. What we're going to talk about, what athletes from other sports should be playing soccer in the World Cup for the United States, because Nate wants to talk about that.
Okay.
Can you imagine LeBron James?
I
want to
talk about how soft the NFL is getting.
Whoa!
How soft it is that Buffalo moved their game because of snow. It's been snowing in Buffalo for hundreds of years, and they've never moved a game, and now, it's a couple feet of snow. What the hell's going on? I remember O.J. Simpson running around in snowdrifts with the football.
O.J. Simpson killed people, so we may not want to use him as an example, but we will take a break.
All right.
Because you have your game face, so I'm back after this on WHB.